Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Liberty Squadron Podcast. My name is Andrew Lewinsky, and this week I am joined with Marshall Staggs.
Hey everybody.
Jonathan Lee.
Hello.
And Zach Cody.
Oh, so rude.
It's Zach Cady, everyone. Stop pronouncing his name wrong.
He's the B-Wing champion.
The B-Wing champion.
He's the best B-Wing player. You gotta show some respect.
Be the best. Be the best.
All right, so we have some. We had some news drop like real quick. Like we were expecting to go into this episode with just a little bit of a talk about meta stuff, but we had the Wave 3 kit spoiler come out with the Vulture class droids and the Bellabub or Bellblum, the Bulbasaur. That's what we're calling it, the Bellblum. So we had that. We're going to go into that a little bit in detail. The Wave 2 kit, we're not really going to talk about. Go check it out. There's some cool things in there. I don't even think they're Altar cards. They're just kind of like different style.
I think they're like expanded art cards.
Yeah.
Like it's there's a Scum pilot, a Resistance pilot, and a First Order pilot. The First Order pilot is it's Blackout in the Kylo's TIE fighter. What's that thing called?
Silencer.
Yeah, it's Blackout in the Silencer, and the quick play card is it's Blackout with Trick Shot, which is kind of cool. But
yeah, you also there's the Metal Force tokens in there. The thing about these Force tokens are all these tokens. It's like the one side is really large, the other side is really like small, and it's a little confusing. I think they're kind of. They must have got like some kind of press kit that they were just like, all right, we're just going to make metal everything, but it's not going to make sense because nothing's painted. And
yeah, maybe it's cheaper for them to
maybe
just do the metal coins or something
instead of painting anything. And then there's a cool set of range rollers for the wave leader or whatever it's called. So go check out that article. What else we got here? Hyperspace dates. We know some dates have been leaking. It looks like Asmodee released the UK's hyperspace dates, so I would expect to see that real soon. These are the hyperspace trials that are replacing the old regionals. So if you keep an eye out for that, we're supposed to, looks like they're starting as early as March, so we should know soon. Or in true FFG style, they'll probably give it to us like 2 weeks before. But
I bet we'll get it. We'll get it with the points update. I feel like they'll be like, these are the hyperspace points, and also this is like when this format kicks in,
hopefully.
I like your faith.
Right. So yeah, that's what I'm hoping. All right, so we had some kind of conversation that the Arizona system open is on the 26th of this month. So if they were to do a points adjustment, if they go into true style of like it has to be out for 11 days prior to when the new ship release, they have to be out the 14th. So I'm hoping that we could maybe get a points release on Monday, which would be awesome because, you know, they said mid-January and like maybe that was their intent the entire time, knowing that it is on the 26th. And that would give everyone about 2 weeks to practice, change their list, do whatever they got to do for that Arizona system open. So maybe we'll see it then. Maybe we'll get the hyperspace that week too.
Trials. Yeah, that'd be nice.
But it looks like they kind of have like a list sorted out where it's like already the spring and the fall semesters that they're just, these are the stores that are getting it. You know, these are the dates and then just go from there. So it looks pretty organized, at least in the UK side. So hopefully we get something coming soon.
Well, the British are usually more organized than we are.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's still like maybe we have to wait 2 weeks, kind of like how they got wave two weeks before we did. So,
no, I think those UK dates have been out for a while.
Really?
Have they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I just saw it the other day on one of the sites, but like Asmodee actually sent out a like basically like a calendar of all the different stores that are getting them. So, but. Stay tuned. Hopefully we get them soon. We hopefully are getting two in the area.
Yeah, I would imagine we'll have at least two or three.
Right. I know Red Cap said they definitely put one in for it, and so did Top Deck. So keep an eye out. We had a tournament, a Wave Championship this past weekend at Seven Dimension. Andrew, I know it was a little bit, they did like a Swiss, a 3-round Swiss, and then a top 4 cut, which is kind of
hardcore,
weird.
Man.
Right?
It's hardcore.
So, I mean, they had to bust out 5 games, but Andrew Lynn did a tremendous showing. He flew 2 generic fire sprays with proximity mines and 2 quad jumpers, which it's a pretty funny list. Like, if you look about it, like, you're expecting Boba to get the points just reamed out of them. Like, him and Han Solo Gunner, they're probably going to just go way up in points. If you're looking at this, you can probably see they might not change the generic fire sprays. They might just kind of leave them alone or even points drop them at this point. And that might be something to look at, because the chassis on that is still really, really good. And there's a lot of other pilots, and Boba's the only one that's seeing play.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I heard on Minoc they were talking about Koshka Frost as a dark horse.
Right, so Koshka is the one that's basically like Boba with dresses, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so she can, yeah, like, they all have good abilities. Like, Amon's ability is good. But yeah, Boba is just so good that I think people were ignoring the other ones.
Yeah. So, and obviously we're going to see the quad jumpers probably get some kind of points adjustment. But definitely I would look into some of these other fire sprays.
Zach, yeah, invest in cheaper fire sprays. Buy stock.
I think Bobo could still be worth playing if his points go up. You just wouldn't load him up as much.
You think? Because I know people started to put him pretty light at the end of the, like, competitive season, at least until they knew that the points were changing. But, like, you started seeing Bobo with literally just Boba, Han, and the Marauder title, like, IG-88. So, I mean, how much more light can you get?
Well, I mean, if you have Boba, so say you're facing 8 Vulture droids, maybe you would like Boba Fett just to, like, ram right into their face. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, if the ship average ship count's going up.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's already at 80 points. Like, you got to think that's almost half of your list right there, especially if he's going up. Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty good to look at the other. The other fire sprays at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know, but the other thing to keep in mind is other ships are also going to be adjusted in points cost. So while he goes up, new wingmen for him may be going down.
Yeah.
I mean, he may not be S tier. I mean, if they adjust his points up and he's not S tier anymore, that would be okay. And if it's a real decision on whether you bring Boba or Koshka or Crassus or whoever, I think that's fair. I don't think anyone's going to bring Kath, though.
Womp womp. I miss you, Kath.
Kath and a bunch of mining guild ties. You don't think that that's a possibility?
I mean, to say...
Well, I don't know, man.
that's too crazy for my blood.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, definitely take a look at the other fire sprays. Even just the generic fire sprays. The chassis on that thing is crazy. All right. So let's jump in.
White boost is always.
Yeah, it's one of the fastest besides I mean, especially because they're hyperspace legal, you can definitely figure them out. You get the front and rear arc that are both 3 dice, unlike some of the other ships we're going to be talking about later in the episode. but yeah, I'm very high on the generic fire sprays at the moment.
Yeah, you could put Han and Marauder on a generic and it would. Yeah,
that seems okay.
Yeah,
be all right. Yeah,
definitely. Especially because you can take that lock or whatever you need, and then get that focus later. All right, let's move on. We had a Wave 3 announcement. We have this preview article. They spoiled a good amount of information for us. They spoiled the dials for both of these ships, the Belblob and the Vulture droids. And they have.
And I think we got all the pilots. Was it? I think it's all of them.
I don't know. Well, they gave us a good amount, because it's like they gave us all the generics, and they basically like showed us that there's a bunch of generics. Well, then I don't know if you really call them generics, but something like Precise Hunter, where it's got 3 pips that you can bring 3 of them in your list, is pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like that. That mechanic, or that, I guess it's not a mechanic as much as like a new twist on the rules for limited cards. I kind of wonder to what degree they're going to play around with that in the future.
Like Itani Mind Link.
Yeah, maybe. Let's bring Itani Mind Link back. Whatever. It was like a perfect card that had no issues surrounding it whatsoever.
None.
Yeah, it's not like the only reason I won a store championship or something. I think we got all the. We got all the Bulbasaur pilots, and then I think we got like all the generic Vulture pilots. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Looking at the dials on these, the Belbalub it's very X-Wing-ish. It doesn't have the one straight, but it's got the two hards. Actually, it's not what X-Wing is. I'm sorry.
It's like a slow tie advance.
Yeah, exactly. So it's got the one banks. It's got the one hards. It's got a full two. The two banks and two blues are two banks, and the two straight are blues. And then it's got a three sloop. Three hards are red. It goes up to 4 or 5. So it's pretty easy dial. This next one, the Vulture Droid, it's got the one hard, and then it's got like the two turns are blue. It's got two talons, but the two banks are white. Like, that's the first time we're seeing something like this. And the three banks are red, but the three turns are white. So later when we're talking about the struts, it might go hand in hand with that, the grappling struts. Jonathan, do you want to take this or talk about the grappling struts for a second?
Sure. So the grappling struts are a configuration for the Vulture Droid. On the closed side, it said, so you equip it with the closed side up, and it says, you execute a maneuver if you overlap an asteroid or debris cloud, so if you land on it, and there are one or fewer other friendly ships at range zero of that obstacle, so there's only one other, you may flip this card. And then the other side says, it's pretty wordy, you ignore obstacles at range zero and while you move through them. After you reveal your dial, if you reveal a maneuver other than a two straight and are at range zero of an asteroid or debris cloud, skip your execute maneuver step and remove one stress token. If you reveal a right or left maneuver, rotate your ship 90 degrees in that direction. After you execute a maneuver, flip this card.
So for basically, you're staying on the rock, and if you make a left or right maneuver, you're turning 90 degrees. You're just basically turning like a turret on this rock right now.
Yeah, so if you land on the rock, a rock or a debris cloud, you can choose to stay there, and you don't suffer the effects of it, and you can rotate around on it, and you can choose when you leave, and you can still execute... And you can still do actions.
Right. So you can shoot off a dude. I think it's just going to be like X-Wing tower defense with these things.
Yeah. Aside from being thematic, like, what is the point of this? What does this introduce to the game to make it, like, more of a... to provide the player with like interesting choices.
So I thought about that myself. Like, one of the things I was looking at was like, you could have something like Maul or Grievous, and you could basically set yourself up with like this, essentially just a turret on this rock that you can be like, come fight me near this rock with this defense, or, you know, just do something else. Like, I think you can really set up these like defensive posts and try to fight in a certain area of the board. At the same time, though, I think we're going to see a ton of seismic charges coming out and trajectory simulator.
Oh, yeah, that'll be super rowdy. Guys, that will not be good.
Right.
Well, I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the ship is just utterly rubbish without some sort of wonky thing to make it better.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Three hull behind two agility. Like, they need to sit on a rock so they get up three agility. Otherwise, they just explode when you look at them.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is a benefit for sure.
Yeah, but then you're probably stapling trick shot to these things, so you can get that third dice.
Okay. All right. I'm starting to see it. Those are two like very interesting things that I had not thought of.
I mean, it also
we know that they're going to have those energy something charges or whatever, right?
Yeah, and I mean, with the grappling struts, it's going to be a lot. It could be a lot easier maneuvering them through, like if you are flying a block into asteroids or debris. If one or two or three of them land on a, you don't have to like maneuver your entire swarm around asteroids, because if someone lands on an asteroid, it's no big deal.
Yeah,
you know, they can just flip their struts, and they can even land on the asteroid, flip their struts to open, and then immediately barrel roll off with their action.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and then
you do kind of want to fly these guys in a block, like the aside from like a TIE swarm with Howl Runner. I think these are, if you're flying a swarm of these, they do like demand to be flown close together. And yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, just send them through the rocks. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
So that's an interesting thing you just said, because it says you, after you execute a maneuver, flip this card. So you could still barrel roll around this rock and ignore the obstacle altogether.
Yeah.
Get a better position.
As long as you land directly on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could still barrel roll off of it, though, and then you don't flip your struts until you execute a maneuver again, then. But then I guess you couldn't execute. So it's after.
You have to do the two forward, though.
Not if you are off the rock by barrel rolling. You get what I'm saying? So you could barrel roll off the rock and then you open up your dial again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because you're not on. You're right.
So it's interesting. It's definitely going to require a lot of testing, and everyone's brain power is going to just try to break these things right off the bat. But these things, it looks like they're going to be cheap enough that you're going to be able to just fit as many as you can.
Yeah. I mean, they got to be TIE fighter price. They couldn't possibly be more expensive than TIE fighters.
Yeah, definitely not more expensive. I mean, with the two agility is what really is going to hurt them. But and here's the other thing is that a lot of these abilities, so we got something like Precise Hunter, while you perform an attack, if the defender is in your bullseye arc, you may reroll one blank result. So it's going to be like, we have that. We have after an enemy ship in your bullseye arc at range 0 to 2 declares another friendly ship as the defender, you may perform a calculate or target lock action. That's, what is this?
Prototype.
Yeah, Chawl prototype. So it's kind of like you want the maneuverability of to be able to get these things in bullseye arc, but at the same time, they're just going to be sitting there. So it's leaving your opponent to mess up and put themselves in the bullseye arc. I'm not too sure on that.
Yeah, they're so weird.
If you have a lot of ships, you know, some things are going to end up in your bullseye arc.
That's true.
If you offset the two rows.
Yeah.
And they don't have, like, unlike, say, Howl Runner, where everyone has to be close to Howl Runner or Aiden, you know, how many calculate tokens do you really need? If you have 8 of these, they could fly in 2 blocks of 4, you know, pretty fine. Yeah. You know,
that's true. Yeah.
I mean, to take advantage of network calculations.
Yeah. How many?
How
many calculate tokens do you really need?
So they can share calculate tokens with each other at range 0 to 1, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. That ship ability is really cool. I think it's a lot of fun.
And
yeah.
Then you could string them in like really sort of in a longer line. Like, you know how a Drea swarm is often in like a really long line? Instead of like a clustered block, you could like spread them out a bit more. They don't have to be quite as tight as if each guy is in range of like 2 friends, that's probably enough.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they don't need, no one needs like 6 calculate tokens.
I do want to point out that this is just reworked Atani Mind Link.
Essentially.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, it doesn't create action. It doesn't create focus tokens out of nowhere.
It does. You're correct there. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and because you have to still be range 0 to 1, I think it's going to be a little bit harder.
It's a much better version of Atani.
Yeah.
But it's in the spirit of Atani.
It makes sense because you've probably figured all these droids are, you know, linked up on this network, so
yeah,
I mean, it makes sense. It's not like some guy like Finn Rao and Asajj are just linked up with Manaru. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Vulture class droid fighter.
Oh, they get like a fun. I think we got like the munitions too. Should we? Oh, I guess that's next.
Well, we still have to go back to the Bulbasaur. We kind of skipped over that because we were talking about the dial. So we got General Grievous in the Belbalab. He seems pretty cool. So he says, while you perform a primary attack, if you were not in the defender's firing arc, you may reroll up to 2 attack dice. It's a really solid ability, except for the fact that he's initiative 4. And I really think, like, going further down in the article, I think we have some amazing I-4 pilots that are just getting completely, like, overshadowed by the I-5 meta that we're in right now.
Yeah, it's a... In the current game, like, Grievous is useless. Like, you never... he's good on paper, but you never... There's no reason to ever take him.
Yeah.
Because you never get his ability off. And you can't increase his initiative, so, like, what's the point?
It might proc on lower initiative things, but it's not like... I mean, with Boba and... If the I-5 meta goes away, then obviously I think we're going to start seeing more Hans on the table, more Fens on the table. Poe's
more wedges, probably. Yeah. Wedge Poe, yeah.
The wedge. But yeah, Poe's going to be on there, and it's going to be like, you're never going to see this happen. Or is Grievous something that just kind of ignores that higher and lets the swarm kind of take care of those things, and he takes care of the smaller initiative things?
I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, I-4 as a flanker is tough. And, like, in the crate data, which they showed, there are more I-4. So there are more I-4 pilots than I-5 pilots, but I-4 pilots are very underrepresented.
Yeah.
But if you could pair Grievous with a whole bunch of the Vulture droids and you split them up and then you force your opponent to decide which way they look, maybe that's worthwhile, depending on how much Grievous is.
Yeah, if they commit to going after your little mini swarm. Yeah, I could see that.
So, yeah, like if you can put enough Vulture droids and fly them straight at your opponent and then Grievous is on the side, who do you turn towards? Sort of going back to when Biophysical was on, talking about using a flanker. And it can move really fast. He can boost. He can barrel roll.
And this thing has a title, right? Oh, no, it has a mod. It has a Belbalab specific mod.
Yeah, so all right, so I looked a little bit into this. It's Impervium Plating. Before you would be dealt a face-up ship damage card, you may spend 1 charge to discard it, and it's got 2 charges on it. This should probably be an auto include in any single one of these ships.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so I looked it up. There's 25 ship damage cards out of the 33 deck, so your odds of getting a ship damage card are pretty great. And then it's not even that you're just repairing it. You're completely discarding it. So you're not taking the damage at all. So
I mean, I'm just talking out of my ass right now. It feels like it's just a hull upgrade, basically.
It might even be better than a hull upgrade.
It might be better than a hull upgrade.
Yeah, so you could literally just knock... If someone gets crit, and it just so happens to be 2 ship damage cards, then... Right there, you just negated an entire attack. I guess it really depends on how many points this thing is, but if it can't be that many if they're trying to make it for the ship only.
Yeah, how much is hull upgrade on a 2 agility ship? It's 4. It's 4 points.
So what do you think you price this as?
It's I'd pay 5 points for it.
Yeah,
I think it's better than hull upgrade. And making it the same price as hull upgrade, I think, is reasonable.
All right. Do either Zach or Jonathan want to take these next 2?
So, Watt Tambor, he is an I-3, and he's a techno union foreman. So, sounds terrifying. While you perform a primary attack, you may reroll 1 attack die for each calculating friendly ship at range 1 of the defender. So, I mean, it sounds fine, but I think I'd probably bring Grievous instead.
Yeah.
It's Cat Scarlet all over again.
So, but yeah, but I mean, you kind of figure this faction identity is based around swarms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's cheap, like he rolls up, he focuses, and then he effectively can get a target lock by re-rolling multiple dice since your vulture droids are going to be swarming all over your target. So that's totally reasonable. But sort of like a workman type ship, not a... it's reasonable.
My issue with all these is that I really think it should say range 0 to 1 of the defender.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're thinking about vulture droids initiative 1 rolling up and blocking stuff. Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's like I have to make that tough call of, like, do I want to set up the block or somehow try and predict that? Like you said, if you still have a bunch of them moving in, then it doesn't matter if one bumps and the rest are at range 1. That's fine. But I don't know. It sets up weird decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, I think it's situational. I don't think if this turned out to be something like Drea, almost the opposite, like if you were at range 1, that could be different. But I think you're not going to see that too many situations.
Yeah, I feel like it's setting you up to lose a lot of vulture droids really fast to try and reroll some dice.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Zach, do you want to take Captain Seer?
Sure. So Captain Seer, our Coggy infiltrator. While a friendly ship at range 0 to 3 performs a primary attack, if the defender is in its bullseye arc before the neutralize results step, the friendly ship may spend 1 calculate token to cancel 1 evade result.
So I like this a lot.
Yeah. This is my pick out of the 4.
Definitely. Because it's giving that entire vulture droid swarm that you have going that is probably calculating and can spend each other's calculate tokens to basically just negate evade results.
It basically gives them crack shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
It
seems okay.
And I think if we combine that with that previously spoiled upgrade, I forget what the slot's called, but
the solitary.
Yeah, it's like it has a I forget the name. Yeah, but like the Kraken,
right?
Upgrade.
Yeah, it's good. So it says during the end phase, you may choose up to 3 friendly ships at range 0 to 3. If you do, each of these ships does not remove 1 calculate token. So it's almost like an advanced optics for like the old advanced optics for droids or for anything calculating.
Oh, tactical relay is what it's called. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it gives you the calculate action, so you can
do it yourself.
Calculate yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, if you would rather take a calculate as opposed to a focus, you can. If you're just hanging out by yourself, you could do this.
Yeah, like on your first turn, you could bank those calculates on all your ships.
You're definitely banking them, and then you can definitely do some crazy things with it, because then you're going in with. Can you only do... Okay, so you can only... Does not remove 1 calculate ticket. So yeah, so you have 3 ships that have 2 calculates going into that initial joust. And with this ordnance that we have here, energy shell charges, you attack and you're required to have a calculate token, which is a 3 days attack with a 2 to 3 range with ordnance. 1 charge says, while you perform this attack, you may spend 1 calculate token to change 1 eye result to a crit. So that's pretty crazy in itself, because, I mean, if you're going 2 calculate tokens into this, you're automatically turning one of the eyes to a crit. You might have a target lock on the defender, and you're upping your attack from 2 to 3 right there.
And you probably have the ability to spend other ships calculate tokens. So even if you don't, I mean, you can modify your dice to your heart's content, assuming that, like, if you're in a swarm with a bunch of other similar initiative ships, like, not everyone is going to have the ordnance shot, or not everyone is going to be getting shot at. So you might as well just spend their calculate tokens.
Yeah.
Man, I think one smart thing to do with the ordnance is to, like, set up banks of firing. So, like, only half of yours fires off the missile this round, in the next round, the other half fires off while the other one reloads. And then you just do volley of fire over and over and over again until you or they die.
Probably you first.
You might die. Yeah. You might die first.
It's probably me.
Cool. And then it's got the action reload this card. Jonathan, you have something to say about this.
Yeah, so the rules reference says if an ability instructs the player to reload, this is different than performing a reload action. So presumably, so I guess the question is, when you reload this card, do you get a disarm token? So it sort of feels like probably not, since the disarm token comes from the reload action. But I see people arguing about this, so it probably needs some clarification.
My impression, rules as written, would be no, you don't get the disarm token.
Right, and they do kind of clarify this with some of the things with tractor beaming. You still do a barrel roll or a front boost, but that's still different than you being able to barrel roll later in the game, because it says that if you do things with on the cards that it says to do this, it is different than actually doing the action. So you could definitely argue that.
I mean, I feel like if it got a disarm token, it feels very onerous, since the energy shell charges only, it only comes with one charge.
I don't know. I'm also reading it as that's in there in that in the future, if something has like this kind of ability and also the ability to like do the reload action, it means that they can do both actions in the same turn feasibly.
Right, so yeah, like let's say that for some reason they have two missile slots and one missile gives them a reload action, and then this says action reload this card. That would be two different reloads per se, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're doing the reload action and then you're doing the action, which is the energy cell charges.
Yeah, I don't know. As a TO, it's bugging me.
Right, so yeah, like the way I'm looking at it is like the tractor beam, that it says to do a barrel roll, but you could, that ship could then still do a barrel roll later in the game. So
it, well, because it says specifically that it's not an action.
Yep.
And we don't have that text yet, I don't think. Well, I guess we do, yeah.
Right.
Never mind. Yeah, no, that's your point. Yep, you're right.
I was going to say, I was like, wait a second, that is my point. So, yeah, but yeah, it is different than the actual reload action. And, you know, we have also, what is it, Genesis? What is the, let's the seek that it's different than actually reloading?
Oh, man. Quinjest?
Quinjest, there we go.
So I know my seeks.
Why do you know that off the top of your head, you lunatic?
Why wouldn't you? Seeks are great.
Said no one ever.
I just said it.
All right. So, yeah. So the way she's worded is a little bit different, but it's essentially the same as a reload. And then she could probably, if something were to give her a reload action, she could do both, just gain two disarm tokens. But it's definitely worded differently than it was in first edition. So recapping this, what do you guys think? You in with the Vulture Droids? You in with the Bulbasaur?
I feel like to make them work requires a level of skill and like weird, like it requires the kind of like weird brain that I don't have when it comes to X.
So one of the things I just thought,
and like we don't have all the upgrade cards yet, but I feel like these. You know, we talked, I think it was last week, about what a swarm is and how you fly a swarm and how swarms don't necessarily have to fly in a block or whatever. And I think these things, if you fly them in a swarm, they have to fly close in a way that's like not intuitive for me. So I think there's a lot of potential, but it's like, it's just not for me. And I'm on the record saying that like I'm probably not going to do CIS. Like I'm not going to get into the Separatist faction, and this, like these cards all look interesting, but this confirms for me that like I don't think this is for me. Like it's a little too jankalicious.
I mean, I love me some jank, but I see this on one side and I see Jedi on the other side. and I feel like my decision's made.
Yeah, that's the other thing is Republic just looks so cool.
So one of the things I just thought of, I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but all this is worded with these grappling struts overlap an asteroid or debris cloud, but we had those funny, like, banana-shaped red blobs that everyone was kind of speculating were obstacles, and I'm curious if...
What kind of bananas do you have?
The red bananas. Red, you know red, what I mean. You know what kind of bananas. Well, yeah. So they look like the red, like, nebulas or gas clouds or something, but, like, I'm curious if, like, these things become popular, everyone's just going to bring them, and then you're stuck with your own three asteroids, or which generally isn't a problem, but it might be counterplay to these if they are what everyone is that they say they are.
Yeah, you can't land on a cloud, I guess.
Which I guess makes sense.
That was 100% a high thought right there.
I think the dial, I think, is really, like, really, it's really interesting dial. I mean, or different. I mean, when you fly a swarm, like, I really want to be able to three bank and then three bank again, but you can't.
Yeah.
So you're going to be the two bank. It just does not, like, get you around that first, those, like, asteroids and debris, like, that when you want to, like, turn it in, but then these guys can just land on them. So that's different.
Yeah, that was a very dead answer of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's different.
Yeah, and then then
the 1K turn.
And then the hard turns, like the green two hards, you could. So I think you'd want to go fast, like you go five forward, then you three red bank, and then you two hard in towards the middle. So that's.
And I mean, I guess one thing to remember too is that the grappling struts do say to remove a stress when you do land on them. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that helps clear up the dial a wee bit. I see your 1K and I raise you my 1 talents on my B-wings and I'm out.
After
you... So, you don't... I don't think you remove the stress until after you do your next... You land on it, but then you still get the stress and you don't remove it until the next time you... But it's still solid. Yeah. Okay. Zach, do you have anything about these? Or Jonathan, anything else?
I am definitely very interested in the Republic, but I think I will pick these guys up too and play them some.
Yeah.
It just sounds really interesting.
I'm curious of the other ships that are going to, like, I don't know. I'm not really into the whole swarm thing, but I'm curious to see what the other ships are going to come out with this.
Yeah, we have the Sith Infiltrator, I guess, which is, it's a large base front arc ship, so
we will. Those are doing really well.
And it cloaks, I guess. So we will see what that looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see a lot more from them. As of right now, it's a hard pass for me.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our TIE SF breakdown. It's not really a breakdown. It's me venting.
I'm ready. My body is ready.
So. Let's recap this. We have the Zeta, what is it? Zeta Squadron pilot at 34 points with no EPT, I2. Omega Squadron Expert, 36 points, I3. Backdraft, 41 points, I4. Quick draw, 45 points, I6. Now, they sound like they're priced okay. You know, they have 3 shields, 3 hull, 2 agility, 2 attack. And then you come with the SF gunner who, when you point the turret to the front, they have a 3 dice attack. And when you point it to the back, they have a 2 dice at the back and can choose to make a double attack where they do 2 out the front and 2 out the back unless it's range 1.
So, right, so that was what I was going to say. Is there ever a situation where you don't take these guys without the Special Forces gunner?
If you're at 91 points.
Yeah, if you're at 91 points, but even still, I have a case for that later, and it might not be the best case, but I think...
So my point is that we should assume that these are all just 10 points more than
exactly. The
listed points cost. Yes, okay.
Definitely.
So we promised Chris we wouldn't talk about SCS or lightweight frame or old advanced optics, but...
The past, we have to let the past die. Right. We'll kill it if we have to.
So, and with that very thought, it's time to kill Quick Draw. Like, I've gotten probably a good 12 to 15 games playing Quick Draw, playing against Quick Draw, and it just... He's not there anymore. Like, everyone's like, oh, well, it's an I6. He's missing a boost. Like, Wedge is 52 points, and we all know how Wedge is, and I would definitely say Wedge is the better pilot here. The lack of the bonus attack, well, he gets the bonus attack when he loses the shield, but with the bonus attack and not being able to go out the front and the back, if you choose to do that and then you lose shields, you don't get to make that second bonus attack. Were you going to say?
So I was going to ask you about that. And also, the lack of ability to effectively mod both shots, like, just kind of, I mean, that's the problem we see with veteran turret gunner, with veteran tail gunner, like with all those cards that provide bonus attacks. Like, it's just not, a bonus attack is nice in theory, but if you're throwing naked dice, like, how much are you really getting out of that extra attack?
Right. And so, you're not getting mods, and then you're also leaving yourself basically completely vulnerable to anything that's coming in. So I did a little number crunch here, and if Quick Draw is shooting something with 2 agility and a focus token, which odds are that they're going to have a focus token since he's shooting at I6, he, with his double attack, if he spends his focus token, he's doing an average of 2.362 damage. If, say, he has 2 focus tokens, he's then in a target lock. He's doing 3.192 damage with both of his attacks. Now, that's 2 3 dice attacks out the front that he gets as the bonus. Like, that's not very good. So, the other argument that I do want to put with this is, with Wedge, you're getting the best ordnance in the game with the Proton Torps. We don't have a very good missile slot right now that anyone's taking.
Yeah, certainly not on the level of Proton Torpedoes. Like, you can make an argument for homing missiles, but not on Quick Draw.
Right.
Like, it's not good on Quick Draw.
All right, so I am a little bit curious about concussion missiles. Like, they give you the 3 dice attack, and that's going to bring up my next point is, I think Backdraft is 100% the better pilot out of any of these guys.
When the SFs first came out, Backdraft was widely considered the better pilot.
And people are going to argue against me, well, I did this with the Quick Draw back in, before Lightweight Frame and all this other stuff, and I think Backdraft is just the way to go right now in second edition. Like, I think Quick Draw was there to get another I6 in there, but as we've seen with Corrin, we've seen with Justera, we've seen with Dengar in second edition, that these 2 attack ships just aren't what they used to be.
I mean, you don't want them to be too good.
Right, but then, I mean, you're going to get stuff like Vader's okay. Like, he's not seeing these crazy things, but Kylo's down to 5. And I'm super low on Quick Draw. I think the TIE SFs in general are just not good.
So what do you do with Backdraft? Do you just throw Special Forces Gunner on and go to town for 51 points? Like, is that it?
So the other thing I was thinking about Backdraft is you automatically get that third dice at the back. The other thing that you can do is throw a missile on him, and so you have a 3 dice at the front or the 3 dice at the back, no matter what, instead of an SF gunner. Now, that might be nonsense because you're literally requiring to have a lock at the front, wasting an action that you could be doing with focus, but it's 4 points cheaper, and I haven't really gotten the chance to test that out, but at the same time, with Backdraft, I'm probably going into that initial joust if my front is even facing forward, and then just trying to trail the entire game with Backdraft, because that's what he does. You can just fly as away from the battle and just be plinking out these 3 dice attacks the entire time, where it's kind of like Quick Draw will be trying to, you know, you want his arc to be facing forward all the time, and it's like he doesn't have the mobility, and if he's doing any kind of sloops or anything like that, he's not getting the mods that he needs unless he's getting coordinated before, which is possible, but it's still not worth it. Zach, you were talking about earlier with some things about Quick Draw D or any of the SFs. Do you have anything?
Yeah, got plenty of things.
Oh.
actually, you gave me an idea. Maybe homing missiles on Quick Draw aren't that bad of an idea.
With homing missiles?
Yeah, like, think of it as, like, if you put, like, homing missiles FCS on them. I know FCS in 2.0 isn't great, but homing missiles at least give you the opportunity that you're doing a guaranteed damage when you go to take them, or throwing four dice, which ups your chances of actually hitting something. Mm-hmm. So do that for your attack, and then that leaves your target lock to actually be on your ability attack. Or if your ability attack triggers first, then you just FCS it and hold on to your target lock for the second shot. It's not great.
There's only 61 points, though. It's not terrible.
It's not terrible at 61.
Yeah.
So that's with the gunner, or?
Yeah, with gunner.
Yeah, that's gunner, homing missiles, and fire control.
And fire control.
Okay, that might be something to look at.
In fact, like, maybe what I try out tomorrow night now.
Get Jonathan.
Yeah, it's like people are hesitant. A lot of times they're hesitant to shoot a quick draw because they don't want to eat that second attack back. Just like people would hesitate to shoot Dengar. So, I mean, that's something there. If quick draw can survive to the end game, one-on-one, you know, if you still have some shields, you have your bonus attack, it can make a difference. And you're right, the bonus attacks don't mean much, but if you focus, like, each attack on the same person, it adds, if you can strip their tokens at the beginning and you focus fire on one person, you know, it still has some worth.
Yeah, so I've been running him with Advanced Optics and Fanatical. So even after he gets his shield strip, he's still packing some punch. But I think with going to the end game with him, there's a lot of better ships that are just going to do better things than this chassis does in general. Like, by no means...
He's definitely not a closer.
Yeah, exactly.
But in my, I don't know, my sample size is much smaller than yours, Andrew, but I've been flying the quick draw Kylo Ren null list.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. He's not my closer. He's there to make sure that Kylo Ren is my closer.
Right. No, yeah. Absolutely. But like, I'm just going off of Jonathan's point that it's kind of like I went up, my opponent didn't do anything too quick draw, kind of left him for the end game, and then it ended up really being Rexler, Brath, and versus quick draw, and it was just like, okay, this is game. So it felt bad.
Rexler is like an 80-90 point ship, and quick draw is like 60 points.
Right.
So the 90 point ship should.
Right, right,
should
right.
Manhandle him.
Exactly, but I'm just saying, like, it just felt bad because I couldn't plink anything onto him, even into the game. Like, I just, where I am super high if you put Backdraft in as a filler ship. Like, if you have an extra, like, 50 points or you're not sure what to go, like, I think Backdraft is absolutely the way to go in this, and I think he's got a real place in a lot of these lists.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I think with the push for hyperspace, I think, like, Backdraft might be this dark horse that, like, just people are overlooking because the SF chassis might not be as great, but everyone's kind of looking at these Upsilons and Kylo and Ties, like, null is everywhere. But I think Backdraft really deserves a spot.
So, I mean, looking at the SFs, how do you think they compare to, say, the T-70s?
Tara, I'm a lot higher on the T-70s, I think.
So, like, a Zeta Squadron with the Special Forces Gunner is 44 points. So it's cheaper than the Blue Squadron Rookie, which is 46 points. I mean, are they comparable? Like, the I-1 Blue Squadron Rookie, 46 points.
So the one thing I do want to say about that is, for one more point, the Rookie Squadron is getting...
It's more health.
It's more health, and they get a boost, or they get the boost and the barrel roll to the focus. The SFs aren't getting that. So, and they have the hard point. They can equip missile. They can equip a torpedo. I think just overall in general that these things are crap, with the exception of backdraft.
I just mean, like, so they can equip more, but, like, point for point at that point cost. Or so, like, the Omega Squadron Expert is with Special Forces Gunner is 46 points. So that's the same price as the Blue Squadron Rookie.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it before this cast. So just curious what people think.
I mean, all right. So, I mean, I'll leave this out to everyone. Like, show me what you're doing with the TIE SFs, or if you agree with me that they are garbage. The point to that is
if you want to just drop us a line on our email and just confirm that they are garbage,
right? Would be great. Or prove
what's our email? It's feedback@backtodal.com.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that sounds right. great shout out to backtodals. But if you either there, Liberty Squadron Podcast @gmail.com or on our Facebook group, you can drop us a line there. But
yeah, send us lists. Like, let it. Yeah.
Yeah. Show me what you're doing with TIE SFs and prove me wrong. Like, that's what I want you to do. Is like, I'm shitting on these things, and it really kind of hurts the First Order faction, because it's like you're sitting there with Kylo, and which, don't get me wrong, Kylo is amazing. If I don't say that, Chris will probably murder me.
I think we're legally required to say that Kylo is amazing.
Right. The Upsilons, they have a place. The TIEs are part of huge part of the game, but like these TIE SFs just don't do it for me. Like, even with backdraft, like, if you don't play him right, he's okay. Other than that, like, I think FFG dropped the ball a little bit on these.
I don't know. I'm not with you on that one.
Okay. Hey, again, I'm asking for people to prove me wrong, so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're okay. I mean, they're not, like, over, like, so just going, like, okay, so a Zeta Squadron Survivor with the gunner, that's the same price as a red, it's one more point than the Red Squadron T-65 X-Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it feels about right. You know, it has the back arc. You know, it doesn't have to turn around. It can fly past you, swivel the arc around with white move. I mean, it feels comparable.
It's a shield, but it has it arguably has a better action bar. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's a jousting sort of ship, and maybe jousters aren't in a good spot of this sort, or they're more efficient jousters with ordnance, like Red Line and like the bombers and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's where I'm kind of coming down on it. It's like generic X-Wings. It's not great. It's not bad. I think they have their place at their point cost, especially in First Order, which is want for things anyways.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if you flew a squadron of these Zeta Squadrons or Omega Squadrons straight at a squad of, like, against, like, generic T-70s, it would be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, I agree. Like, quick draw and backdraft are not the aces that they used to be.
I don't know. That's the other thing is we've kind of seen is we really haven't seen so many, with the exception of the swarms, we haven't seen so much of these generics in play. So it's kind of like almost like, are we automatically just throwing them out at the moment?
At the moment,
I mean, that's a good question. Yeah, I think just by dint of good named pilots have been in 2.0 so far, like, we're not, I'm certainly not taking a look at generics right off the bat. It's not what I've been gravitating toward when I'm looking at, like, what has the potential to be something that I build a list around. So, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, it'll be a thing of we'll see how hyperspace evolves, I think you're right. Like, the SF feels like it should be something that the First Order as a faction is centered around, and it doesn't feel that way just by how you've been talking about them and, like, what kind of list building has emerged. It they feel kind of ancillary.
Right. And one of the things that I think that they kind of got wrong is that the with such a limited pool of ships, it seems like they would have tried to make sure that everything you could put any ship that was available to you on the table. And I just don't feel that way with Quick Draw. Like, sure, he's going to pack a punch right off the bat and he's going to joust hard right off the bat. But if you can, you're going to take Quick Draw off the table with that one turn and that's going to be the game. Like, he doesn't have like the real oomph that he used to have, and he can't flank like he used to. Like, he after that first joust, like I just think he's dead. Yeah. Unless they're, you know, opting to not shoot him, which I think is absolutely the wrong answer, because you're probably not getting too much damage off. So I think they're like, they're okay, and don't get me wrong, there may be one missile like right off the bat that they're just missing. Like, maybe one of the expansions that we're not seeing has a missile coming that we don't know about that could put these things right on the table. But other than that, I'm super low.
So Andrew, if you could put proton torpedoes on Quick Draw, what would you think? Just curious. So if it's 9 points, proton torpedo, say it was a torque slot instead of a missile. Is that good? Is it not? I don't know.
I think proton torpedoes at I6 are good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say this right then. You get into like wedge territory. It's to the point that, like, everyone's crapped on Wedge since the game's kind of come out. Like, even though he's kind of performed being an I6, I would say it's viable, but for that same reason. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he would be good because he's an I6 torp carrier. Right now, he's just an I-6 missile carrier that can shoot twice, basically, on mana on the second shot unless you have something. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, if they were to put harpoon missiles back, then sure. I think he absolutely would be viable because he's an I-6 that can do that, but right now he can't. So prove me wrong, Internet.
I mean, I think my last point on this is around the list that I've been flying. Like, I think the other thing that's helped him in my like handful of test games is that I'm running Heightened Perception Kylo and Null. So he's actually the last one to shoot in my list.
Okay.
Most rounds. And at that point, his hit percentage goes way up.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So yeah, there is probably room for like to build around him, but would you like think about other pilots that could do what he does better in First Order?
Yeah, of course. Not sure that any of them do it, though. I think one of the things that's kind of helping him right now, too, is that there still is the quick draw fear from 1.0.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people are going, like I said, in my list, he's there to make sure Kylo makes it to endgame, and he's done that brilliantly. He goes in, punches something hard last and kills it, ends up dying a few turns in, usually. But at that point, the thing that out initiatives Kylo is now dead.
Well, I tell you what. Well, maybe we'll set up a little contest. We got a little bit of swag coming in from different places. So if you send us a quick draw list that you think is viable, we'll analyze it. We'll sit down and take a look at it. And if we think that you could change my mind, we will vote on it and send you some stuff. But like I said, as of right now, I think Quick Draw is dead on the table, dead on arrival. Backdraft is playable, is probably the best SF out there, and the generics are just, we're not in a generic meta right now, unless it's some kind of swarm that has bonus rerolls or something along those lines. But even like to that point, maybe in hyperspace they have a place, but in extended, absolutely not.
And what he needs is heroic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even but he's fanatical.
Yeah,
but he has to be unshielded, right?
But by that point, he's not getting bonus attacks anymore. So,
right, and I've messed around fanatical, and it's cool on certain things, but I think the TIE SFs. See, the thing about TIE SFs and fanatical is you've already kind of committed 3 damage to the SFs, you're probably going all in on the SF to try to take that gun off the table.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Fanatical is even the right choice on those things. Because you've already got it halfway, why not finish it off? So they might be better on something like the silencers or just the actual TIE fighters.
Yeah.
But prove me wrong. There, we'll make a new segment. Prove Andrew wrong. So, all right, anything else before we start to close out?
Let's shut it down.
How should they send the list to us?
So, yeah, if you send it.
Yeah, what is our actual email?
It is libertysquadronpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you send it to our Facebook page, we will get it there as well. All right. Let's go to shout outs. Jonathan, you're in charge of this.
Yeah, so I'd like to shout out Bruno at Millennium Condor. Thank you so much for the support and the swag that you sent us. It's very much appreciated. It's a great podcast, especially if you can speak French. But they do the Lore Master quiz, which is very amazing. And I think I would nominate Zach as our representative if we should ever be invited to the Lore Master quiz.
Good luck, Zach.
You could challenge the Zach Matthews.
Zach off.
All right. And then Mike Bird, he sent us some goodies too, didn't he?
Yeah, so Mike Bird at East Coast Gamers, great guy, friend of the show. He was on one of our earliest episodes as a guest, and he does a great job out there, and I want to thank him for all the support that he has given to our podcast. And it's great. And I'd also like to shout out all our patrons. I don't know how many we have.
Mike Doe is the best man in the world. But yeah, if you guys like the show and want to help support us for a future, we do have the Patreon. We will link it in our description. So shoot us.
Yeah, give me that URL.
Yeah.
I'll be a patron of my own show. I don't care.
There you go.
I'll do it. I'll sign up. I want that swag.
Right. Yeah. I think at the end of January might be the last run for the IG card. So that's going to be the last of them until our next run. So then we're looking for something else to launch in March. So that's going to be the last of the IG cards to get your hands on them. And then they are out. So sign up at patreon.com and we will get them out. Zach, you got a event coming up, right?
I do. Showcase. End of this month.
Showcase or Gamescape?
Gamescape. That's the one.
You're on loose turf there.
This is why we don't record late at night.
Yeah, so it's the 26th, right?
Yep, 26th. Probably going to be a Wave Championship. I have to make sure we have that kit, but
okay.
That'll probably be what it is.
And you are should you
still
doing,
come
like,
out anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Are you
that's,
doing,
a, that's a good start.
Do you know if you're doing extended or...
Definitely extended.
Definitely extended.
Okay.
No. Definitely extended. I'm also been toying around the idea with doing our own kind of thing and doing a bit of a hangar bay, since I know people still have tons of things that they want to try out in 2.0, and give everyone two lists to bring to the tournament.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Nice change of pace.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm thinking right now.
All right. Anybody else have anything before we close out?
No, right. I'm good.
No.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to us this week. We should be we'll probably be recording an early episode next week with a special guest. So stay tuned for that. And we have another meta-analysis. Chris should be back then. He is away on business right now. So, again, thanks for listening and have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, y'all.